Brother Dennis, and thanks for all those beautiful songs this morning. The song service seems to have pointed toward heaven.
I just want to this morning say how good God is and how He goes before us and takes care of us when we don't even know we need taken care of. But I was sitting there, and they were singing, and I saw the flag, and my heart dropped because my son, who just turned 33, he was a Marine captain for 10 years, and God saw him through Afghanistan twice. He let him be on the DMZ, one foot on Northern Korea and one on the other. But you know, I asked God and asked God, oh, please pray for him. Let me hear from him. And you know, I just realized I hadn't even thanked God for what he did.
Amen.
He brought him home. He brought him, he has a few scars. But other than that, he's doing well. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus, one more time for bringing him home and being able to serve and have the skills he has. So I just wanted to say again, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you, girl. Thank God for that testimony, precious son, that was willing to go fight for our country. Many that went did not come back. And I can only imagine the grief of those parents. But thank God, Miss Renee, put on her heart, God put on her heart to testify the grace of God that appears to all men. Brought her son home, captain in the Marine Corps, leading those men over there and all the duties that God had placed upon him. But God gave you a duty and me a duty too. Let's examine that this morning. Song service seemingly this morning by God's touch and by God's leadership has been about a place called heaven. And the last song we heard, a place called heaven, it's calling me, it's beckoning me. But the question is, are you going? Are you going? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. God's been placed on my heart most of the week, a message of saved, saved, saved. And then this morning, when I woke up, he put another verse of scripture on my heart. And Miss Heather's going to show us on the screen a verse of scripture in the book of Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. And the scripture says that you probably won't, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. And then God reminded me the time he wanted to, just leave that on the screen for a minute or two, the time he wanted to place this at our hearing was the very time that summer's ended. Yesterday at 9:54 p.m. in the Northern Hemisphere, what they call the autumn equinox. Equinox, Latin word for equal night, equal day. And as you can see on that, the sun is hitting perfectly last night, the Northern Hemisphere, the equator. That means the people on the backside, that was us last night. We had the same length night as the people on the front side of the proximity of where we live, and that's changing. And why is that important? Because the Lord reminded me that he is a son of righteousness. His face, the Lord showed me, is going to appear full strength this morning. You see, last night we were in the dark when that happened, but the world spun, and now we are in the sunlight still. But every day is going to get a little bit shorter and the night a little bit longer. And could it be that God is smiling upon your face this morning if you're lost, full strength, and if you turn him down, tomorrow it could be less and less and less. Why? The scripture says the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we're not saved. Everyone's not saved. And the Lord this morning is going to deal with individuals. How you respond to it, please be very attentive to God's Spirit this morning. And people, if you're lost this morning, and God's also dealing with this morning, that a lot of people sitting here may not know if they're lost or saved. And during the message, if God burdens you, don't wait. Remember, we're right now, summer ended yesterday in the summer season, but now it relates, of course, the Lord wants to show us this morning that it's getting later too. Heaven beckons us. We're soon leaving. He's soon coming. And every day we're drawing nigh and closer to the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, in the middle of the message, or any time God puts on your heart about salvation, whether you don't know you're saved, but you want to get saved, whatever, please come to the altar right then. Don't wait on the invitation. And when somebody comes, somebody come and pray with them. You don't know what they're going through. They may not even know what they're going through, but God does. And he promised this morning his face would shine full strength on you this morning, everyone here, so you'll know positively whether or not you're lost or you're saved. Well, that's an important question. If you're lost, that means you've got to get saved because you want to go to heaven. Surely you would not have come to the house of God if you did not intend when you die or when the Lord comes to go to heaven. But the psalmist tells us so many times, the Lord's in heaven and we're down here. So let's look this morning, and she got some more pictures perhaps for us, showing how the earth spins, and as that happens, of course, the scripture relates to the fact of summer, and it relates us to the fact that there is a season for everything. A season that God shines on your life, and if you don't respond properly, he will turn his back on you, and you will try to seek him, and he will not be found. That's a picture showing there, little earth compared to the sun's brilliance up in the universe. And God, and the song rather even said, thank you, Dennis, for listening to the Lord this morning, that beautiful song, that we don't even see and know. We don't see heaven, but the one seated on the throne sees you and he sees me. We're seated together in heavenly places. Why? Because God died for our sins and he arose. Let's look at some scripture this morning. We're going to look at that thought. The summer is ended. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we're not saved. But God wants to save us, everyone. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Let's look, first of all, at some ways that we know that God shows us in the Word of God, have we been changed? We know that when he saves us, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that means every detail of your life. When the light of God comes in, it's no more darkness. You may not know a lot of the scripture, but the love of God shed abroad in their hearts. He comes in and he changes their heart. Don't have the same outlook. Don't have the same desires anymore. He gives us his desire, and he gives us the way we think about the things of God, the mind of Christ, what he wants us to have this morning. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So we see, first of all, there is a walk and a way of life that God determines already before you were ever born. He has predetermined a way and a walk for every one of us. And then when we turn our face toward him after he has turned his face toward us, and we repent and we tell him we're sorry that we have become a sinner when we were born. We didn't have anything to do with that. That was Adam and Eve. And Eve is the mother of all living. So we're born in shape and iniquity and born in sin, every one of us. But when we got here, we started having the ability to make choices for ourselves. And then when you reach the age of accountability, when God shows you, whether you're 5 or 50, however it is that God shows you as an individual that you are lost, you were born that way, but you don't have to stay that way. There is a new way. Look at the second verse we read in verse 3, 1 John 3, 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself. How do we have that hope? When we bow and we ask forgiveness and he saves us. That means he writes her name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Only he has a copy, but no one can get in to blur that copy. You don't have to worry about, is it registered? When I was born, my birth certificate, I didn't know it at the time. But Mom and Dad had it recorded in the Madison County Courthouse. And then when I started getting married, first time I recognized I needed it. No, I guess when I got my license. Anyway, you have to go get a copy to prove that you are alive and that you're born, how old you are. Well, when you got saved, God keeps all that to himself. He gives you the joy of your salvation, Jeremiah says, or the book of Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the only strength that you and I have is produced by the joy of the Lord that he gives us when he imparts new life to us. So that way is predetermined. All the sin that you had in your life is gone. I know the devil brings it back to your mind, but he can't bring it back to God's mind because God has forgotten it, erased, eradicated forevermore. Why? Because of the blood of Calvary, the old rugged cross, the way he lives on. And then he gives you that new hope. We read about it in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, the hope that God put in your heart when you got saved, in him, not in yourself, not how good a life you can live, but you live a life trying your best to let him purify your life, your thoughts, your desires, and everything you know and everything you do is supposed to be about God. And if you have salvation, that hope is there. A good way to know if you don't have a hope of eternal life and a hope of being pure like him, then you better check on your salvation. These are ways that God's doing. Look at the next verse. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. See, we are still sinners saved by the grace of God. That means your body still is in sin because we're in this earth. And the thoughts you have may not always be pure. But when you don't have those correct thoughts, because Satan has a way of putting things in your mind too. But see, if you have that new hope, if you've been saved, then greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And you have a choice of who you listen to. But the desire of your heart means to want to know more about him, and you start hating those thoughts that are impure. Because the scripture says that we have that hope, we have a way of wanting to have our life purified before God. Why? Because old things have passed away and all things have become new. Not only that, but look at Proverbs 28 and verse 18. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Uprightly means having integrity, seeking the truth. And the only truth that you have in this world is contained in the Word of God. Let every man be a liar, but what God says in his word is true. So the thoughts you and I have may not be pure. Sometimes you have to test those thoughts. How you do it? By the pure, unadulterated word of God, which is pure. And the precious Holy Spirit speaks to your heart too. Now, at the same time, other spirits may speak to your heart too. And you have a gate. Remember, we started looking at that the other day. There are gates within our body that God has placed. A gate that we can block and close our eyes to feel for the world. We even have a way of not listening to that which we don't want to listen to. Sometimes you walk in a marketplace or some shopping center or walking through the parking lot or pull up the red light and somebody's got those boom, boom, boom. You can't help but hear it in your ears, but you can block it from getting to the heart. How you do that? God's give you that way of doing that. You start thinking about the things of God. What you're listening to does not, with your ears, that you may not be able to control because of where you are, that cannot get to the heart because the hope that he has given you, the hope he has given you says, I don't like that. And somehow he can block it off from getting to the heart. It gets in the ears, but only you can let it get to the heart. And then the desires you have comes from him. And the earthly desires you have still in the body and the flesh, there's nothing good about them because, see, the flesh still is in this world. But the heart is saved, eternally saved. And their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And nothing can change that. So in the book of Proverbs, he says that we walk uprightly in accord and truth and love. And then he says, save. What do we mean by that word, save? It means delivered. Oh, but I'm not home yet. Thank you, Dennis, for the song again. Our hope is anchored in the Word of God. And that's where we're going. And that's a sure, steadfast thing because if he says you're delivered. You've already been delivered. Well, I'm not there yet. Well, in the mind of God, you're delivered. Your name's there. And you have that hope that he's soon coming after you. And perverse, look what he says, that is perverse in his ways. That means crooked and a behavior that's sad, that people that aren't saved have that longing in their heart. They can't get over it. They mean to do well. If you're not saved, you know you've been reared in the house of God, perhaps, and you know that the way the world goes is wrong, and you'd like to do something about it, but you can't. No, why? Because your ways are still perverse, and the only way to change that is let him save you. And you say, well, I went to the altar maybe more than once. I'm not talking about trips to the altar. I'm talking about salvation, which comes when God shines his light on you. And if he hasn't shined his light on you, you're still in the darkness, and you've come to him without him drawing you, can't get saved that way. And a lot of people have tried. So he uses that verse of Scripture. Look carefully. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Those people that have the intent. Now, I know salvation is not by works. But once you have salvation, there is works. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall, or that twisted. And in his ways, a manner, a course of life. I've been baptized, you say. I've got my name in the church book. I've been coming faithfully. But what's your manner of life? What controls you when you hear those evil sounds? Do you kindly enjoy it? I know the flesh does, but I'm talking about the hope that's within you won't let that occur. There's something about that you say, I hate this. And you'll end up running with the right people, going to the right places. And when you're not, you're miserable. And those that aren't like that are perverse in their ways, like the Scripture says. In his ways. And then he says, fall. That means cast down. And if you haven't been saved, there's going to be a mighty fall. Lord's going to come. And when he comes, he's going to shout. And all those that are saved, that have that hope, that's got the blood applied, and their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, they'll rise to meet him in the air. And those perverse, been to the altar, been baptized, doesn't count. Salvation through the blood. They will fall. They will be left behind. Not only the walk and the way of life, but what happens after salvation? We've looked at a few things that's happened. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means God has placed you in the Lamb's Book of Life. He has come to your heart to live. And that is a permanent delivered state. We say save, and that means we have been delivered. Just as good as if, I mean, my salvation is in heaven, and Peter says, kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last times. And we didn't have a thing to do with it, except we just come according to the Spirit. When the light shined, full strength on us, and we were willing to say, yes, I've been in darkness, but you put me in this direction this morning, and I want to thank you for drawing me to yourself. And I ask you to get all the darkness out of my life. And he will. And then the rest of your life is spent with the hope that only he has been able to give you. And you're trusting in him. And then he continues in that verse. Behold, all things are new. Old things passed away. the lust of the flesh still there because you're in the flesh. But in your heart and in your mind, you don't want that. You don't desire that. There is a hope, and I'm lingering, and I'm trying to, in my thinking this morning, go back to that hope. There's nothing like it. I've seen people with cancer and people with dementia and a lot of diseases, and sometimes they lose their hope. And they say, well, there's, you know, I've tried this, and there's no more hope. And then they quickly start getting more unhealthy. But if they have that hope, I'm not going to give up. And God gives you that hope. It's not just about your body, but it's a hope of salvation. And in this world, you get discouraged. The world is against you. The devil's against you. Friends sometimes get against you. And a lot of people that say they're saved are against you. But it doesn't matter. God has put a hope in there. And that hope is that everything will be all right. Not all right with Wall Street, not all right with anything else, but the hope and salvation God gives me is perfect. And just a few more days, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it's used many times, and it came to pass. What came to pass? Everything. Every trial, every temptation, every death, every sickness will pass. And I have hope that I'm going to be in a place called heaven. I also have a hope that things are new right now. I don't have to worry about it. And the Sandra can attest to you, I don't worry about things. Why? Because I have a hope in Christ Jesus. I don't worry about hardly anything. I can lay down and go to sleep right in the middle of anything. Why? Nothing I am but what God has given me, that I belong to Him. I trust Him. Lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. I claim that verse. Anything that's going in my life that's not going right, then I don't have to worry about it because He's doing the path directing. I'm just acknowledging Him, knowing that He saved me, knowing He secured me, trying to walk in the ways of the Lord. We've got to hurry. The walk in the way of life. And what happens after salvation? All things passed away and all things become new. But look next in Luke chapter 11, verse 23. There's something that's so important here. The worst sins that are without any control. And look at verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He saith, I will return to my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. What's he talking about here? People that have come, maybe they've been drawn to God. Maybe they have come because other people came and it was peer pressure. For whatever reason, they came seeking salvation. And for whatever reason, they didn't obtain it. And then they realized what they ought to do because the Word of God teaches them, and they tried to do it within themselves. And they spend a month, a year, 5 years. I know people have spent 30 years. And more, playing church, trying to be deacons, trying to be preachers, trying to be preachers' wife. And they struggle and they struggle and they struggle. But there's nothing within to help them in this struggle. It's all about them. And finally at last, they give up because they haven't been saved. And they see that they can't do it within themselves. And many of them give up. And then when they give up without hope, then other spirits come in and take control. And some of the most faithful people that you've ever seen, that used to be faithful and used to walk in the things of God, now it seems like they're more wicked than they were even before they said they were saved. And that's what the scripture teaches us in Luke chapter 11, verse 23. But in closing, let's turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John again. First John chapter 3, verse 11. See that how when God saves you, he gives you this hope. The walk and the way of life is ever before you. It's God's way. You have a hope. But everybody don't have it. Many here this morning, no doubt, don't have it. You're still wondering. You're still wavering. You're still not able to come to grips with the fact. But look, the scripture's going to help us. Look at verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See, this is a young boy, one that was born to Adam and Eve after sin. Sin came in, and now everything happens. They were born in sin, shaping their neck. What goes to mom and dad, and you were too, and I was too. And Abel heard the call, and he wanted to worship God, and he was told about how to worship God, so he brought blood sacrifices. It's the only thing God accepts. Cain, not so. He played the religious game also. He knew there was a God, and he tried within himself to serve that God. He brought the works of his hands. And he thought God would receive it, but God doesn't receive works of your hands. He received sacrifices made to him through the blood, of course. And then he saw someone else, his brother, and he was sacrificing and through the blood, and because it's pointing to the Lamb of God, of course, Christ Jesus, who would come be the Lamb of God forever, take away the sins of the world. And Cain saw God receiving him, and he got jealous. Why? Because he didn't have that hope. What did he do? He did something awful. He slew his brother. But God was looking. God's always looking. His eyes have not become dim, that he cannot see. His arm is not drawn short, that he cannot reach. And he still saves. And he'll save anyone that realizes there's nothing I can do. Abel was like that. All he had to do is what God said do. Bring the sheep and slay them and apply the blood. We don't do that today. We do something even better. We just bring ourselves. And we give ourselves unto the Lord. And we say, Lord, I don't have to do nothing but worship you because you died for me. I adore you. You shed your blood. I receive that. You gave me hope. You gave me salvation. And now I just humbly bow before you, receiving what you have done on the cross, and worship you and adore you. And that hope springs up again. Yes, I don't have to do anything, but I just get to worship. You don't have to worship. You get to worship. Worship, what does that mean? First time he mentions it in the Word of God is when Abraham was taking his son Isaac up. God says, come up to here where I'll show him at Moriah and bring that son, that only son, and offer him a sacrifice. And when you do what God says do, first time he mentions a word is awful important. And then the Bible says, and Abraham worshiped God. That's what worship is. When you do what God says do, as he says do it, when he says do it, that's worship. And you can't do it until his face is shining on you, as we saw a picture of the sun is shining at the earth, full strength. This morning it's just about full strength. But you know what? Tomorrow the nights will be a little bit longer. It's a gradual thing. And when you have been brought to the knowledge of the truth by the Holy Spirit, full force, and he has shown you completely, you're not saved. And you turn your back on that for whatever reason, peer pressure, what will somebody think? Then it gets darker and it gets darker. The harvest is past and the summer is ended and we're not saved. Would you stand this morning? Your head's bowed. Brother Randy, if you'll come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts your heart. Cut the message a little short. That's what God wanted me to do. And give you opportunity this morning. Forget anyone's here. Just think about what if it was a day of judgment. And I'm standing before the Lord. And you can't change at that moment. And what have I done? Which side am I on? Am I on the side with the sheep, the right side? Mom and dad, those people that say. Or am I? This is a look at the future. God sees the future. He wants you to see the future. Would you be ready to be cast into the lake of fire because you have never accepted him? Forget all about the times you come to the altar. I'm talking about salvation. Works can't give it, and you can't obtain it except when the Son, Christ Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, shines on your life, convicts you of sin, and you come willingly and says, I can't do it, but I want you to do it for me because you shed your blood. I'm just accepting salvation, and I receive it gladly. Your head's bowed. Please, nobody's looking. We're going to sing a song of invitation. God told me there's many people here this morning that would be here that do not know for sure, but this is the morning. This is the time God's going to let you know. If you're in doubt, you come, and I promise you what he promised me, that you'll leave here and you will not have to worry anymore. His light is shining on you full strength. If you're not saved, please come. The altar is open. Don't shun the invitation. It's not mine. It's God. Brother Andy.
Page 332.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely
say, I'll get saved sometime. But today, illumination from God on your life. If you don't come today, it's going to get dimmer and get harder. See, the earth starting to tilt. We're getting away from the sun. And when you don't do what God says do, then that full radiation, that full love is not in your life. Oh, he died for you, but see, it's you. It's not, you see, the sun's stationary. It's the earth doing the moving. And we're like that. He's shining on your life. We're doing the moving. Moving his direction. Saying one more verse.
Without
people are still coming. You can be seated a minute. Don't want to cut the invitation short. Brother Gunn, will you pray with him? God's dealing with you. Your eyes are closed. Important time. Important time. You see, if you leave here today and God's dealing with you and you're not saved, and you know you're not saved, some of you, and you say the later time, something is causing you to put that out. Could be peer pressure. Could be something you're wanting to do and sin. Whatever it is. You say, God's shining on you this morning. He may tomorrow. But the day of salvation, the day of grace is not always there. It'll be harder in the future than it is today. And sometimes if you get tired of God dealing with you and say, leave me alone, don't ever say that. I know people that said that and he's done that. 30 years later, he's never spoken to them again. Important time, you see. The harvest is past. Summer has ended, and we're not saved. That's some individual here this morning, Brother Andy.
Without him, I could
tell us about singing that, please.
Yeah, don't usually make a too much about us singing, but I tell you what, Miss Kyla Rowland is scheduled to be here tonight, and she's in a wheelchair. By all means, she probably should be home in bed, but Miss Kyla is determined to do the work of the Lord, and you all know her. No better precious woman in the world anywhere. Every once in a while, just out of the blue, I'll get a text from her just saying, Brother Andy, praying for you and your wife. Praying for Gary, praying for Miss Gail. She's just a wonderful, wonderful. Would you please come and support her tonight? She's going to do the best she can in a wheelchair. But I promise you, the Spirit of the Lord will be with her. So if you would, just please come tonight at 6 o'clock. Miss Kyla Rowland. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Not only a great singer, but one of the greater songwriters. Written some of the best songs that we sing a lot of. And the usher's going to come this time. Stay seated, if you will, please. And they're going to pass the offering plate. We're going to receive the offering. Make the check, if you will, to Fletcher First Baptist Church. We will send that money to Anchor Missions, and they will use that to secure another load to take to the flood victims. It takes a lot of money, if you'll come ahead at this time, everybody. Brother Gunn, if you come up here, please, and ask some blessings on the offering. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving.
Let's all stand this morning. It's easy to reach in your pockets when you're standing, so we'll stand. And Brother Gary and Sister Gail asked me to remind everyone that's requested the CDs from Revival that they're on the table with your names on them, so please pick them up as you leave. And I just want to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us bow our heads. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, Father, that we can call upon your name, knowing, Father, that you are Savior. That's the reason you came, to save and to die for our sins. Boy, I thank you that you hear our prayers. And, Father, it's not that you don't answer, but it's our sins so many times that hinder. And God, I pray, Father, that you would reveal our hearts to us, Father, we can look to you in all things, and we'll be faithful to give you the praise and the glory for all that you do. I pray that you'd be with this offering, Father. You know those ones afflicted by the flood, and Father, there's so many. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use it to be a blessing, and most of all, the people that's receiving this, they would see Jesus Christ come to repentance and call upon you as their Savior. Well, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, thank everyone for coming, particularly the visitors. Thank God you're here with us this morning. So good to have you. And you'll be great back there as you leave. And thank you again for coming. Lord, thanks you for coming. Please come back. And we have a note here. The blood drive will be in the trailer, and the bulletin tells all about that. They'll be coming here, and they won't be our facilities, our parking lot, and they'll be taking blood. It's a seven-day thing anymore for them to get blood because there's such a shortage of givers and a lot of other people needing it. And if you can sign up today or later on out in the lobby, you're willing to do that. And the blood people are so thankful for, they give a $10 Engel gift card just as a thank you. Okay. See you tonight. God bless you.